Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing with such honesty and transparency, and letting us into your lives. You remind us that God never stops working in our life, that he uses all things in our life. We might not see it, but you also remind us that he doesn't give up on us, and that we should not give up on him, and that he has taught you that over this course of time, and I appreciate you sharing that message with us today. I think we all appreciate that. Let's say a prayer. Lord, I just want to thank you for your presence here with us today, for the ability to be family, to, especially over this last month or so, let each other in a little bit further into our lives, into each other's lives, and into our story. You've placed your story out there for us. I've laid my story out. And now we as a family are beginning to unfold our own stories with a little more detail, a little more complexity. And I thank you for that, Lord. I pray that we will draw encouragement from it, because you are a mighty God and you care for us, but also encouragement because we're all going through this together. And none of the feelings we have are unique or wrong or different. They're human. And God, I just pray that you will help us today as we look further into your story and how your story commingles with ours, that we will be more and more inspired and hopeful despite our circumstances, despite what we see, and sometimes even despite what we feel. I thank you for this, Lord, and we just richly and graciously come before you to say we love you and we thank you for your presence, and ask for ears to be open and hearts to be softened today as we hear more from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, how many of you knew this was our last Sunday here? Oh, have you heard it a few times this morning? Maybe a few times over the last few weeks? Yeah. Hi. It's so good. It's so good to have you here today. And I'm glad that you all made it this morning. It was a little icy out there, but my goodness, nothing like last week. Those of you who were here last week, how shocking was it to go outside and find your car just totally encased in ice? And then it stayed that way, what, for 2 days, 2 or 3 days? So today was a little frosty, but there's blue sky, which is exciting to me. And I forget that often accompanies cold at this time of year, but hey, it's a balance, and I don't mind. So we've been here for 2.5 years. Basically, we got a new start as a church about 3 years ago, the beginning of 2015-ish, and we were in a building that we owned for 50 years. We were getting reorganized, reignited, restarted as a church. Here we go. God's got great things for us. There's some changes that are happening, but, you know, he's going to be there with us. And then it was around February of 2015 that we got the news that we were actually selling our church. And shockingly, it didn't even get put on the market, that the decision to sell was made on a Friday, and by Monday it was sold, and we were going to be moving out, and this is where we landed. The last Sunday of May, 2015, about 2.5 years ago. And I remember equating our journey at that time, for those of you who were with us, remember this, to the Israelites having wandered around for 40 years in the desert. Well, they crossed the Jordan River and they went into the Promised Land. And so I remember saying, we're crossing the river, we're going into the Promised Land. And then sharing in addition to that, that what the Israelites did was they ended up camping once they crossed the Jordan River. So they had been camping in the desert, they crossed the river, they camped. It was like, okay, so let's settle into camp for a little while. So how many of you who might have been here 2.5 years ago, remember how long I said we were going to camp here? Three, how many? Three what? 3 months! We were going to be here for 3 months. That's right. So I was off by 2 years, give or take a few months. So God had a little different plan than I did. And in retrospect, here's the problem. I equate camping with, you know, a weekend, a week, 10 days maximum is my comfort level to camp. And we own an RV. And so you can imagine if, you know, we're really roughing it, the idea of camping is super temporary. And God's idea of temporary is likely not maybe as short as mine. I mean, maybe he even saw the Israelites and said, hey, you guys are going to hang out in the desert temporarily. And, you know, they kind of wandered in circles for a while and waited for the ones who were not right on board with believing God was going to lead them anywhere good. You know, he kind of waited for them to pass on. And then he said, you're ready. You're ready for the next move. And to God, when you think of eternity, try to wrap your minds around eternity, we have to realize that 40 years is probably a blip on his screen of eternity. Certainly 2.5 years is a blip. But it hasn't felt that way to me necessarily this whole time. Because before we moved in here, I was looking for a place that we could call our own. And it was less than a month before we knew we had to be out of our other building that we found out about this place. So God has the plans in mind. He goes before us. But we don't always know what it's going to look like on the other side, the outcome. And it appears to me that the idea of waiting for God has become somewhat of a focal point this morning. And often it's in understanding the why in retrospect that gives us the best understanding of how God's hand has worked in our life. Our faith is often built, yes, in the waiting, in the believing. God, I know you have something for me. I think. I doubt, but no, I'm not going to doubt. I believe, but do you? But in retrospect, we look back and we say, oh my gosh, look, God knew all along what he was going to do and what he was doing. And so that's what we get to do a bit this morning. I want to take a moment and look at a few pictures from some of our times together in the last 2.5 years, because God knew what we were going to be doing. We were going to be having fun. And we were going to connect. It's the arms race from a few years ago. Some parties, some camping, some serving. My first long flight across the country with Greta. And we have chosen to worship. Wherever we are. In whatever way we have to offer. And serving. That was one of the first calls God placed on us. Action. Put your faith to action. And we decided to keep Robert Hagee around. That was at George Babbitt's house. That was a long day of work. We've seen baptisms and we've seen dedications. And most importantly, I would say we've built community. So as we close our current series of his story, I'm going to walk over to the big book for the last time. I'm going to attempt to do it without tripping over the easel. That will be the first time this series that I haven't. Let's see if I can. And open the page and see what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at the never-ending story. His story is never-ending. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Be sure of this, I am with you always. Take a moment, just a moment, and think about that. About God being with you always. He's always with you. You're never alone. There is a peace available to you all the time. There is a warm love that never fails. There is hope even when things look hopeless. There's joy, unspeakable joy. But sometimes we don't feel it until we come to the point where we are fully embraced by Jesus. The recognition that he never leaves us. We are never alone. It is a never-ending story. There is safety, there is comfort, there is peace, there is love, there is joy, there is hope, and God will never give up. He will never leave us alone. God is never done building an intimate, sometimes complex, as we have heard from testimonies. Our lives are not simple. He has entered our complexities, and he has brought reason and restoration and redemption to them. The relationship that he builds with us is intended to draw us closer to him. Because honestly, he can't get any closer to us. That's what Jesus is saying to us. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus can't get any closer to us. But we can be drawn closer to him. And that's a choice we get to make every moment of every day, in the midst of every crisis, in the midst of what feels hopeless, in the midst of our sadness and our loss, in the midst of our joy and our playfulness, remembering that God wants to draw nearer to us in all the complexities of our inner workings is astounding. I would suggest, and this is our first, the next step, number one next step on our connection cards, that for this coming week, You take time at the end of every day to actually take out a piece of paper and a pen or open your notes on your phone or tablet and write down where you saw Jesus that day. That's an exercise I suggest to a lot of people, and I've probably suggested that to some of you when we've met one-on-one, especially when you don't know where Jesus is at the moment in your life, and that happens. It happens to all of us. That happens to me sometimes, and it can be in the morning I feel that way, and by afternoon I'm in a different mood. So if I take the end of the day and I look back retrospectively through my day and I write down wherever I've seen Jesus show up, that builds my faith. That allows me to draw closer because I'm reminded that he is always with me. And I would challenge you to do that this week if you don't do that already. Make a list of where Jesus has shown up throughout your day. And what you'll find yourself doing is as the day goes on, there's going to be little times where you go, ping, ping, ping. I think Jesus just showed up. You're going to be in the grocery store aisle and you're going to have an interaction with someone over the coffee. And you're going to realize this was an opportunity that either I made them feel happy or they fed into my life. There's all sorts of opportunities. There's times at work when you're doing the same thing maybe over and over and over, or something's frustrating or someone's frustrating, that you're going to see Jesus show up there. So I would love to see all of us do that. And then next week when we come together at our new location, have a time where we can share some areas where Jesus randomly showed up that we might not have noticed otherwise. The arrival of Christ as a newborn baby was one of those times that the people who visited Jesus or heard about Jesus' birth looked back in retrospect and understood how grand that event really was. It marked the culmination of God's plan to reconcile himself with his creation. The verse in chapter 28, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, is the very last line in the book of Matthew, the first gospel of the New Testament. And it follows Jesus telling his disciples that he's leaving them to go back to heaven and giving them clear instructions, saying that he personally has been given all authority in heaven and earth. And he says, therefore, because I have authority, I want you all to go out there and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this. When you're going about and doing my work and living out your giftedness and walking in my footsteps as I've demonstrated to you, be sure of this. I will be with you always to the end of the age. Sometimes we leave that out of the Great Commission. And we just know that Jesus says, go make disciples, baptize, walk the way I've walked. And we feel guilt and we feel like, oh my gosh, that is such a heavy command to carry out. How am I supposed to do this work that, you know, God himself did? And then he's telling me to do it, and it's hard and it's uncomfortable and it's embarrassing. The thing that we forget is that Jesus said, I am with you always. Oh, yeah, he's always with me. And Marcus shared a few weeks ago something that has resonated with me, and I've gotten feedback from some of you that has been so helpful. Jesus, God himself, invested the most of his time and the closeness in his life, building relationships with 12 people. And really, 3 were his best friends. And when you realize that that was God's model, and then Jesus is saying, do the same, and I'm going to be right there with you, Man, the level of the intimidation of that commissioning really lowers. I find peace in that. I find comfort in that. I find a joy in that. Investing in the lives of other people. Hey, now that's something I enjoy doing. Without a lot of the other pressure that somehow sometimes we hear in church, you must do this, you must do that. You must love other people and invest in them. And don't forget this most important thing that we leave off at the end. I'm going to be with you all the time you're doing it. Oh, well, gee, God, I think I can handle that one. You're going to be with me wherever I go? That's a great thing. That's a great reminder. And he actually says, he actually says this, and be sure of this. And be sure of this. He wants us to be sure of it. It is a promise. It is a promise. We are never alone. Jesus is always with us. But, as I've said before, sometimes we need God with skin on. Not just sometimes. We do need God with skin on. And that's what this whole commissioning is about. Go and be like me. Well, God put skin on. He became a human being. He became someone that was tangible, that could be touched, that, as Marcus said earlier, the woman with the issue of bleeding for 12 years was able to literally touch the hem of his robe, but literally touch him. When he appeared to his disciples after he was brought back from the grave, they literally were able to touch him. They touched the wound in his side. They touched the nail holes in his hand. He was literally able to be touched. And then he says to us, go and do the same thing because I'm always with you. We are given each other. We need each other. And that's another reason that we are never alone. One of the, I think, the best quotes I've ever read is from a book written by a guy named Jim Imbaugh. And it says, you know, the Trinity is the first small group in the history ever that got along perfectly. There are three of them, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then they said, let's make a human in our image because we want more company. We want more interaction. And so they made Adam. They made a man. And then they said, well, that's not good for Adam to be alone. There needs to be more. So they made Eve. And then they said, populate the earth. And we can see from the very beginning that Jesus is about building relationship, that God is about community, and that he says, I will never leave you. It is a sure promise. And he says, follow in my footsteps, which means, hey, be there for each other through thick and thin. It's not always going to be fun. Most of the time, you all are lots and lots of fun. But every once in a while, you might get a little bit on one of my nerves. I'm just saying. Not really. Nobody here. There might be one or two. But but I wouldn't be talking about my husband. But the fact of the matter is that when we choose to invest in one another, we're choosing to invest in each other, whether or not we're always happy with the other person. But we are choosing to love. We are choosing to love. And love covers what? A multitude of sins. So we have been a church community here for the last 2.5 years, and we've been a church in a box, is what it's called, when you roll up to doors with your possessions in a trailer. And it's taken a lot of people to participate in being able to bring church together every week. And it was so strange to walk in here this morning and realize this is what we identify as where we do church. And this is our last week of doing that. And we're going to go somewhere else and figure out how we do church. Yeah. But God is reminding us again that the church is not about the building. But I do want to play a game this morning called Have You Ever? Have you ever played the game Have You Ever? Well, we're going to play it this morning because I want to see how many people have ever participated in bringing about making this church happen every week. Have you ever arrived at 8 a.m. to be on the first part of the crew to set up? If you've done that, raise your hand. Have you ever put up curtains at this place? Raise your hand. Have you ever taken curtains down at this place? Raise your hand. Have you ever... give me some other have you evers, people. Have you ever... what? Have you ever set up the snack table? Raise your hand. Have you ever greeted at the front doors? Raise your hand. Have you ever ushered here? Raise your hand. Have you ever played hide and seek in the hallway by the refrigerators? Raise your hand. Have you ever come early and prayed for a while? Raise your hand. Have you ever put out the signs? We are giving a hand to those people. Have you ever remembered after you put them out to go back and pick them up? Raise your hand. Yay. Have you ever swept the sidewalk out front? Raise your hand. Yes, there's a few people who have done that. Have you ever stacked a chair in this room? I think just about everybody can raise their hand on that one. Have you ever pulled the trailer? Raise your hand. Yes, thank you very much for doing that. What else have I missed? Sound people, have you ever run sound here in this room? Raise your hand. Yay. Have you ever run the media? Raise your hand. Thank you very much for doing that. Have you ever carried totes out the doors? Raise your hand. Yes. Have you ever sung? Have you ever? He's like, what are you doing? Have you ever been a singer in front? Raise your hand. Yes, thank you very much. Or a musician. Have you ever participated in signing during a song? Raise your hand. That was awesome.
You ever preached when the preacher couldn't preach?
Have you ever preached when the preacher couldn't preach? Or even maybe when the preacher could, but you preached for... how many people have preached here? Yes, thank you very much. This is only because we are family and community that we have done these things together. Have you ever invited anyone to come with you and had a guest here? Raise your hand. Yes. Well, invited people into your life and they've actually come. So one day I asked God a few months ago, why are we still a church in a box? We can't afford to buy a building. Why are we still a church in the box? And his answer was, because it builds your community. Because it builds your community. When you're hanging out together, putting things together for church service, and when you're hanging out together, taking things down for church service, you are building community, and community is what this church is about, or at least a good portion of it. So there's four things that have come to define this church. And we are poised for our story to continue. And these are not new things I'm going to share today. I went into them pretty much in depth in the fall, but I just want to go through them again. That we have a mission here to be a place of hope. I guess I should say, have you ever found hope through Jesus Christ here? Yes. Yes. A mission is the thing that you're going to carry out, but it's going to take a vision to get the mission accomplished. Think of it this way. If a mission were a noun, a thing, a mission is the thing. The thing that we are as a church is a place of hope. Our hope is built on our faith because Jesus has been faithful, and he's built our faith. We've had times of wondering and questioning and relying on him, and he has built our faith. Therefore, the vision becomes the action that accompanies the mission. So the vision is kind of like the noun or the verbs that we're going to be seeing as actions to accomplish bringing hope to this place. So our visions are to be submitted to God. And what that looks like is that we are seeking. Seeking is an action. We're seeking God's will and direction first. And we're committed to God. And what we're doing there is that we're moving and we're doing as God directs. Those are actions. And the final one is sharing. We are sharing God's love. And we are sharing unconditionally, passionately, and completely. So our mission is clear, and our mission is carried out through our vision. So I've looked for a few places over the course of time where we could call home. And just FYI, every time until Brown Middle School, God has told me no. So just like a brief list, I looked at an office building in Tigard. I've looked at Park 219 Warehouse Space, Columbia Business Park, Park Plaza West, property on Rosedale Road, an old restaurant in Hillsboro, Stars Cabaret in Beaverton. Yes, I did. Evergreen Covenant Church, property on Southwest 185th. I've had meetings with pastors at local churches. Interestingly, some of the churches locally have up to 4 or 5 congregations meeting in them because there's a scarcity of places for churches to assemble. I've had meetings with the city of Beaverton, not by myself, but with others, city of Tigard, and Washington County. And I share this with you because I want to just say that we as a church believe in persevering. That even if God says no, and he did a few times, and some of us can attest to that because we were kind of in it together, pushing on those doors. Is this door going to open? It seems to be open a crack. Let's push a little harder. No, a little harder. I remember one time going over to some place before I knew Beaverton didn't allow churches in industrial commercial areas. We were off of Shoals Ferry Road, and there's some cool brick buildings along Shoals Ferry on Nimbus. And that's actually zoned commercial. And so it's not allowed. Churches aren't allowed there. We didn't know that. And so we were looking with Jan and Doug before they moved away. And I found a back door unlocked of a vacant place. And so I went walking in, and they were like scared to death. What if the police come? I'm like, well, the door was open. If they come, we'll tell them we're looking for space to rent. I mean, I wasn't really worried about it, but I went through every door that opened, whether it was legal or not at the moment. But I was going through doors until they shut. And God was so good about shutting those doors when he would say no. And we were basically all together when we heard the yes. We heard the yes less than a month ago. I think there's a pattern here. Less than a month from the time we need to be out of somewhere, God's like, hey, I got this. I got this. You guys have a place to move. I got this. No problem. And so the door opened. But it was just right after I had heard another know that a friend of mine shared the last part of a prophetic verse from Isaiah. And the part that she shared with me was, "I, the Lord, will make it happen. At the right time, I, the Lord, will make it happen." That's Isaiah 60, 22, the last part of it. And I looked at this verse in its entirety. And looking at it more closely, God's words and promises jumped out at me. And see if they don't for you too. It says, "The smallest family will become 1,000 people. And the tiniest group will become a mighty nation. At the right time, I, the Lord, will make it happen." At this point, I want to share with you a list of things, not an exhaustive list, but a list of things that God has poured out his blessing on our small family, on our tiny group, as we have watched him bring about the right time for everything he has done for us. Well, first of all, actions started immediately before we moved out of our other building. The end of 2014, first of 2015, actions became a word that we associated with this church. We were serving at St. Child, I believe, in October of 2014, and we have partnered with them ever since. We were serving at Medical Teams International for a number of months, and then they actually got inundated with volunteers. So that's when we began looking for another place to partner, and that was with the Gleaners Association. We started small groups immediately. And those small groups, at one point, over 90% of those in our church were involved in a small group. There are new small groups coming in 2018. We're going to be unfolding info about those at the members' meeting this coming month, January 21st. We'll have more info about that. We're going to get those small groups reignited again. But that was one thing that pulled us together. God did that. The preaching and the teaching encouraged individual growth, connection within the body, and connection with those who had need. We began to look around to see where the needs were in our world. And we began to train ourselves not to judge and not to just say, "Oh, I'm going to pray, but I'm not going to get involved," but actually get involved. We literally made homeless bags and handed them out. We have one person still volunteering at the warming center, but we had several people last year volunteering at the warming center. April's roommate is actually in the process of designing this innovative idea of making a blanket with an outer covering of a tarp. She brought it to me. It's kind of in a prototype stage. She brought it to me. Terry and I looked at it because Terry's a sewer. I'm not. And we're probably going to get involved with like a sewing group, those of you who sew, just to let you know, to make these great blanket raincoat covers. We started at $0, give or take a few, the beginning of 2015. We had nothing but our naivety and our hope and our God who said, "Hey, you be a church, I'm going to be there with you." Zero. We had zero. The end of 2015. Okay, get this. January 2015. How much do we have? Zero. The end of 2015, we had $150,000 cash in the bank. That's God. That's God. The smallest family and the tiniest group, that doesn't happen on our own. That's God. We started making tithing a priority. That is what made the difference. God says, "You tithe and you bring to me, and I will bless you. Test me in this." As a leadership board and leadership of the church, we said, "Hey, there's a lot of empty columns under tithe up to this point. That's not going to happen anymore." Every single month, this church tithes to our conference, who tithes to our denomination, who serves around the world. And God has proved himself faithful. We hold our benevolence drives in the summertime. Do you know how contraindicated that is for churches? People look at me and they're like, what do you do? People give at the end of the year. They don't give in the summertime. The summertime, they're taking vacations, they're playing, they're doing home remodeling. People don't give in the summertime. But God has said, hey, no, you guys need to store up what you are going to be able to have ready to give when the needs hit, which is generally winter, cold time. And so we hold our benevolence drives in the summertime. And here's another thing that really blew my mind, and I had to make sure the books were checked a couple of times. There was one point that this church, this small family, this tiny group had given so that we had over $30,000 in our benevolence fund. Guys, we have never turned anyone away who had genuine need. You guys are amazing. God is amazing. We've adopted a little boy named Davidson in Haiti, and we've adopted a family and have stuck with them through thick and thin. And it was a family of two. It was mommy and a little boy. And then, hey, she became a family of five. Actually, she became a family of four, but daddy is part of their life too. So if you remember, a year ago, it was October 11th, Analia and Anieli were born weeks and weeks early. And Michelle Hall and Tom and Bev and me gave Felicia and Raul and Emilio rides to the ICU, the NICU, for a couple of months while those babies were in there. And Michelle and Tom and me still give rides to that family as they need it. There's still doctor appointments. But look, they celebrated their first birthday. Yay! Isn't that awesome? And we're still there. We're supplying them with diapers, and we're supplying Felicia with internet so that she can go to school. She's almost got her associate's degree. And this is the picture I got on Christmas Eve day. I think that's on Anieli. And it was just like, happy Christmas Eve. So that's a family that we've invested in and that we're going to hang with until, and little brother isn't in these pictures, I'm sorry, or big brother. He's three now, though, and adorable and very loving little boy. So We are committed to them. We have supported each other through challenges. We, most importantly, have seen seven salvations in these last 2.5 years. We've seen many people rededicate their lives to the Lord. I forgot to look up the exact number, but more than seven. Because we have baptized 13 people in this amount of time, and those included people who have rededicated their lives. And this, okay, I got up early and I refigured my math because some of you know I don't excel in that area. We've added 25 members since 2015 to this little body. That deserves a praise offering to God. So remembering how God's hand has been revealed to us allows us to hold on to the hope that his plans for us do not have a cap or a lid. God's plans for us do not have a cap or a lid. They are as big as we are willing to dream them. Are you willing to dream them with me? We are going to dream them together. So we've learned multiple times that God is with us and will be with us as we go forward from this place. Paul wrote to the Christians living in the Roman province of Galatia with a reminder that solidifies Jesus' promise today that we've read, which is, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And Paul said this in Galatians 6:9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Sometimes we say that a chapter is closing or a season's coming to an end, and we're not going to say that because in actuality, God is just getting started. There is transition coming, and we are excited and poised, hopefully, for whatever is next as we are used to expand the kingdom. So let's put it this way. This is the end of the beginning. Marcus, would you come forward so that we can do our final song? And I would ask that you fill out your connection cards if you haven't already. Are we going to sing I Surrender All? No, we're going to sing the other one. What is that one?
What a Beautiful Name.
What a Beautiful Name. So we're going to close with What a Beautiful Name. And I would ask you that once you got your connection cards done, that you will stand and sing that with praise and thanksgiving to God, because his name is beautiful and he has done and is going to continue doing great things. Let's pray together. Lord, I just want to thank you for today and for the hope that you've instilled in us, for the goodness that you have poured out, for being with us always. Help us, Lord God, to have the faith to continue walking in your footsteps, to be obedient to your call. We love you today, Jesus. Amen.